You're listening to the Collaboration Twins podcast with me, Kelly.
And me, Rob. I hope you guys enjoy it.
So welcome back to episode 8 from season 2 of the Collaboration Twins podcast.
And what's this episode called?
We thought we'd do a review about what life is like now they are officially 18 months old.
Actually, we never actually name it, do we? Apart from last week's one.
No, there's a few that I named beforehand.
This one, we'll probably name it afterwards, won't it?
Yeah.
What do you reckon we should call it, though?
I don't know. I might be inspired by something that we come out with, Rob, and that's normally where it comes from.
Yeah.
But I am on my second week without wine. I'm hoping to be a bit more focused this week.
Well done. Yeah, I'm similar as well. This is non-alcoholic wine, everyone out there.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So, let's... Well, we can do our summary and kick off, can't we? But it's kind of going to be where we are now. So we thought we would sort of review what's happened between being a year to 18 months and some of the big developments.
Yeah, so just it's perfect for anyone who had to listen to this and thinking, oh, is it worth listening to these guys again? If you are someone who's like new to be twin parent, soon to be current, yeah, in that first year, in the surviving year, and you're about to come up to that birthday, I'm wondering what's next.
Yeah.
We're about to scare the shit out of you. Not really.
Well, I think a lot of our... I mean, I would say there's three types of people, isn't there? You've got the ones that are about to have twins, that are pregnant, that reach out. We've got the ones that are in a similar stage to us. Mm. And then some that are just behind us that are listening to know what's coming.
Yeah.
And then you've got some, I think, where it's a bit nostalgic. Yeah.
This is awesome. Yeah. So I love them.
If you're one of them, can you come on? Because we want to know what we're getting in for.
Yeah, exactly. So this week, Kel, should we have a little work on what's happened this week?
Well, we broke Tesco's again, didn't we?
Hmm.
Your technique of driving around the different trolley bays looking for the twin trolley is a brilliant tip, and it works. So it's probably easier when I was in the car.
But especially on those rainy days.
Oh, yeah.
Because all you've got to do, you've got to look out for the two bluey seaty bits that are split. That's all you've got to look for. And I was like, yep, yeah, it's in that bay.
Yeah. I mean, I've been at my counselling training. I had a training day on a Saturday, all about GDPR. It's riveting.
GDPR.
And record keeping. So I hadn't really seen the twins all morning, and then you picked me up, and then we drove to Tesco's on the way back, didn't we? Mm. And Ted wasn't very happy with life. And I don't know if I've taught them the right thing here, but they definitely have learnt today that if you are not coping and mummy picks me up out of the trolley and I find a teddy, mummy will buy me that teddy so that I stop having a meltdown so that we can get on with our shopping. And Erin, I don't know how many chocolate little cornflake cake things she got through. I think the girl got through two bananas as well. I did it as a little story, but the things you do when you've got young children, I think we've all done it where we've opened up the packet of something to give them that. I mean,
Basically,
I don't know why.
Let's be honest. Nanny takes them to Sainsbury's.
I'll tell you what it is, though, because Nanny works at Morrison's. Morrison's do a thing where it's free fruit for the children as they go around shopping, which I think is a brilliant idea.
Until we were going, if we went in there regularly with Ted, they'd be like, right, we're banning this, because this kid, it's like the Simpsons episode where Homer's goes into that one all you can eat fish, and then the guy's like sues him because he literally eats all the fish. And Ted, you gave Ted the free hour thing. He'd wipe out the banana section.
Yeah, although Erin was getting through them today for a girl that didn't eat bananas 3 weeks ago. But I mean, that is a brilliant idea, and it is also a brilliant tip. Have a little snack as you go around because it keeps them
happy. I mean, Daddy even had a snack. I opened up those bag of Doritos. I was like, yeah, I'll wipe very well. Yeah,
because we do when we go around. Like, if we're going to do a big shop, we always go with two of us, don't we? And we do the scan as you shop, well, so that we literally just pay for it at the end. That's a great little...
I did do a big shop last weekend on my own with the twins. They had so much fun. It was like every aisle was a roller coaster. I was spinning the trolley round because mummy wasn't around to tell me off. I was spinning the trolley round. They were loving it. Sideways. We were like, it was like Need for Speed Underground Tesco's Twin Edition. Are we actually talking about cars? Are we gonna? Are we forgetting the beginning part of the week or last weekend?
Yeah, we're blanking that out. What happened Sunday?
It's quite interesting though, isn't it? Like, thank fuck for your mum and dad on that day.
For those of you that don't follow us on social media, firstly, you're missing
out. I mean,
out to the Instagram stories.
No, but I didn't actually put anything up on my own personal page about that, did I?
No, I did though. I put it as a story on Instagram. Long story short, about 1:30, we realised that we couldn't find the car keys. On a Sunday, whilst we was at my nan's. And on the car keys was also the front door key. We have a spare front door key and we have a spare set of car keys, but they're in the house. And my nan lives 30 minutes away. So, yeah, we had my nan's house apart, didn't we? We couldn't find them anywhere. Luckily, my mum had come up that day as well. So she took the twins back with her because she has 2 car seats when she has them. Took them back to mum and dad's house. She fed them dinner. We were convinced they were locked in the car somehow. So we ended up calling a locksmith, didn't we? They couldn't come out till 5. So we went back to my mum's. Yeah. Went to my mum's, had dinner, went back when they arrived at my nan's. They opened up the car for us, but the car keys weren't there. You managed to somehow, you borrowed my nan's spare car, didn't you? And then granddad's spare car. Broke into our house, which is worrying as well. To get the spare set of car keys to drive us home. Got home about 8 o'clock, and where were they, Rob?
In the bag that I put my running clothes in.
They weren't in the bag though, Rob. Where were they?
They were in the shorts, my running shorts I'd done the race in with.
Shorts that to be fair to you, we all checked them, but quite rightly so. Like, my mum and my auntie aren't going to be going down your shorts. Like, but even I picked them up and I didn't know there was a pocket in them.
You would have been fine with them though.
Yeah, if I'd known there was a pocket, I would have checked it. But I genuinely, because they're those like slimline ones.
Those sexy thigh tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, lesson learned there.
Yeah.
And actually, let's be positive. Although the 150 odd quid was a bit of a sting, could have been more if you had to break the window.
Positive.
Yeah, you didn't have
there
to break.
No positiveness. Yeah, positiveness.
You didn't have to break the window.
Any positiveness was that the kids got fed dinner.
We got fed dinner.
And we got fed dinner. That's the positive.
We didn't have to break into the house and break a window.
We had a really nice Sunday lunch somewhere to frantically chucking it down so I could go to locksmith. Yeah, wait over the floor. Oh, actually, no. The best thing I wrote was your mum's sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. The kids ate it.
No, the kids didn't eat
it. Did they not eat it?
They did not get that. That was adults only.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was a Nigella Lawson recipe, she said.
And your mum was saying that she even cut down the sugar intake on that. And the butter. Yeah. And everything. But, yeah, that was the start of Monday. Hence why, if you guys follow us and you're waiting for a podcast to come out, it's always great that we put it out and by the morning we've already got listeners coming through. Mm. So if you were listening and thinking, why is this delayed? Because it's usually out like 6 o'clock and it came out like 9:10. It's because of that reason.
Because we couldn't get into the house.
Yeah. And then we were ill that beginning of the week. I was ill.
You were then ill Tuesday.
And the kids were ill as well, a bit.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Bless them.
But they were like what I call good ill, because they weren't like, you know, being sick or like runny nappies or like coughing, cold, sneezing. They were the ill where they were a bit under the weather and slept for 3 hours. I mean, there is no good ill, but if they're going to be ill,
I got a sleep offering on my chest for old times. And then Ted came back for the afternoon session on it. For the current stages we could start to talk about, but like where the kids have come very attached to you, they don't cuddle me as much as they used to.
Mm.
And so for them to actually do that, even though I was ill, I loved it.
I mean, I don't...
actually loved it.
Erin gives me a proper cuddle, doesn't she? She calls it a cuggle.
Yeah.
Cuggle, which is the cutest thing ever. Ted will sit on me, but he very rarely gives me... When Ted gives me a proper cuddle, it means the world, because he very rarely will wrap his, when he does, he wraps his arms around you, around your neck, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And gives you a proper cuddle. He rarely does that, but he'll want to sit on you and face the TV. He does that a lot and wants to be picked up, but he very rarely gives me a proper little arm round the neck, proper mummy cuddle.
It's more like a koala bear hug when you're picking
him
up.
He's funny because you try and put him down and he kind of like wraps his legs around you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like holds on tight, as you said, like a koala. He's like, don't put me down, don't put me down.
My dad was saying today, he was like proper gripping.
Yeah, like, don't put me down, don't put me down.
So yeah, that was the beginning of the week. And then we went into the normal stuff. How are you this week from where you were last week?
Stressed.
Still stressed. Yeah. Let's be honest. That's the realness of our podcast. You've got a lot of teachers that reach out to us as well.
Yeah. And I was talking to another teacher today, and there's definitely something in the air. I think term two is tricky because kind of like the novelty of having a new teacher and being back at school's worn off. You've got the darker weather. It's raining a lot, so they can't get out to play. There's lots going on because we've got Halloween, and then we're having Poppy Day, and then Christmas is coming, and they're all just up in the air. And then, you know, like, there's been a lot thrown on you, but definitely having to wear the mum hat some of the time, and then the, you know, the counselling training, it's really... This is at the end of this, I'm a qualified counsellor. It's really upped its game and the expectations of me and homework and getting it all in. And then also being a part-time teacher, it's really hard because the days I'm there, I'm giving it my all. And I kind of trying to do a full-time job almost in 3 days. Mm. It's really hard. And then also, I can't stay late because I've got to get back with the kids, etc.
Mm.
So it's just a little bit stressful, but I think I feel like I'm constantly chasing a break. And I don't think you need to be a working parent to understand that. Mm. I think we all feel like that, just especially when you first have twins or you've got kids, you're just constantly chasing the time. Like, oh, if I get X, Y, and Z done, then I can have like half hour to sit down. But it just feels like I'm always chasing.
What's the ultimate break to you? What would be the ultimate break to you?
Spa weekend, please, Rob.
Okay.
Without the twins.
Okay.
Thanks.
Is there any particular items?
Not bath spa, because we know what happens when we go to bath spa.
Okay. We have a bloody set.
But I mean...
Is there any particular types of massages you want on that weekend?
Yeah, hot stone massage. I love a bit of...
Hot stone massage?
I love a bit of reflexology on the feet.
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of that, what I am better at doing now is when the twins are down, is going, right, sit down, have a cup of tea. Because if I have to start running around again, at least I'm now sat down, have a cup of tea. And that's really hard to do as a mum because you almost... need those breaks when they're asleep so you can get stuff done. And it's having sort of the self-awareness to go, like, I'm exhausted, I need to eat. Or that washing, I did a reel this week, didn't I, about our messy home, just to normalize it. I mean, our house isn't all...
It's so funny, like, I'm gonna tell you this on the truth. When I took my mum to university hospital doctors yesterday, sort of assessment for post-stroke, she was like, why did Kelly put a reel up of your messy house? Why would you want to put that on socials? I was like, Mum, you're not getting the context. We've got a community of twins. We're helping people out just to normalise this. And she was like, my day, you didn't put that sort of stuff on social media. I was like, there was no social media.
But I mean,
She did apologise afterwards. I was like, and also, like, what I did find funny was that the house is rarely like that. Let's be honest.
There are...
And you know what even cracked me up even more? Is that I found mine reel, which is the guy I'm talking about, somewhere down the line in the relationship. There's always one person. I tagged you in it. It was like relating to a tandem bike. He's like, there's always a tandem bike, the relationship, and the poor fucker is the person on the front, the tandem bike. Getting the thighs slapped in his face, and the other person behind is like, you okay there? And he's like, and relating to real life is, it's the fuckers that put the pans in the sink for soaking, and then it's the other fuckers who can't do that, can't stand that, and the ones that clean up. And it's so relatable.
I do like a good soak.
Oh, fuck, there's no nothing to soak half the time.
There is.
No, it's not. You put it in there. Like,
yeah, I should say, like, we are, our house is not like that all the time, but let's be realistic. You can't have a constantly clean, especially
I'm saying is like, have, our house is a lived in, loved family home.
Yeah.
But mountain of washing.
That is because we got back from holiday. But that is like, I mean, look at it right now, Rob. Our washing bin is over full. We've got clothes on the dryer, and I still haven't sorted out the twins because we're transitioning from summer clothes into the new clothes that they wear. That is normal.
Yeah.
And actually, that front room,
this front room here,
it does look like a bomb city whenever the kids are playing, but I do tidy up every night.
I tidy up every night.
No, you do. No, look, let's not get into this, because my biggest bugbear is bath time. Because even if I've not been here and I haven't even bathed the twins, I still have to put all the fucking bath toys in. It's not that hard.
I like to put a point right. You introduced the toys in the bath.
Yes.
Yeah? So you clean them up. It's a fact. In my day, we didn't have toys like that in my bath time. We basically got plunged underwater, soaked, go out.
Oh, I feel quite sorry for you, actually.
Yeah. None of this different variety of tools and toys in there.
I mean, the other day, they started lobbing at me going, throw! And I'd take one out.
Ted really, like, doesn't really care about that. He likes to create a wave machine in there.
Just wants
to
splash.
And splash on it. And even Erin's starting to get into that as well.
Yeah.
Like, they need toys in there.
Tell you what, shall we move on to then the biggest difference that you've noticed between turning one and turning 18 months?
Because, is that what we're talking about today?
Yeah, because personally, I think there is a massive leap and difference between getting to that first birthday and then getting to that 18 month. Yeah. And I don't just mean that you go to the next style of clothes, because that's what first excited me when they turned a year old, is you get 6 months to wear clothes, not three.
Sorry, I'm yawning then. I realise we're on wrong video. That's not boring me. Just so I let you know. I like last week's episode. I have wine this week. I'm trying to focus.
So you can focus.
Right, what are we going to start with on it?
Well, let's talk about what could be, and I'm always very careful to say could, not should, be happening at a year old. So when they turn one, you know, they're sitting up, they're babbling, they're giggling, they're probably interacting with each other. You've probably got like a mum, 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 or a dad, dad, dad. They're probably pulling themselves up to stand at things, like against your sofa, things like that. You may have some that are walking. That's very early, but it's not to say it's unheard of. Yeah, I mean, they're really the main ones, aren't they, a year old? They're fully weaned, so they're weaning. They're eating their meals three times a day. They've probably got the chunkier textures. You probably introduce a spoon and a fork. Don't expect them to be using it properly, but they, again, you may have someone that does, a twin or twins that do. They're kind of the main things you're looking at for a year.
Mm.
And then, so what's the biggest development when you're at 18 months? So that's what I've described as a year. What would you say that we see at 18 months? And again, this is could. Talk to me about the development of Tender in 18 months. What's the difference from when they were a year?
They're the same, aren't they?
You're winding me up.
So, one, like, the first bit is the clothes that you think that they're weren't going to fit in, they actually fit in, which is bonkers. Like, it's scared. You don't even notice it, the growth rate that they're going through in that period of time. Like, now they're bowling around, strutting, running on that element. Even us, last week we were talking around how you can sort of sense that, especially on Ted, his actual brain has developed another stage.
Neurons are firing together.
Yeah, they're firing together because they're just how the connectivity of, especially his language, he's developing out now. And they're signing a lot more. They're actually responding to their wants and needs more now, aren't they? In the fact of like, I want this. No, I don't want that. I'm not hungry. I want milk. I want that toy.
Mm.
Right. So, and that's a great part, but I think that's been developed from the Mackerton side to it all.
Yeah.
For us, they're still in the stages of trying to spoon feed, and that's more and more coming in, especially in the last, I'd say in the last 2 weeks or so, they're starting to actually connect to that,
scooping up element to it.
Yeah, like, and that was, and that's been supportive in the last few months for us.
So walking, feeding themselves a lot more, developing more language. And I mean, I think Tenneran have got quite a lot of vocabulary.
Massive vocabulary.
But that is, I think, because of the signing.
Mm.
And we can do I can do a podcast. We can talk about how to develop early language.
But I do think that it's because of also how we talk to our children.
Yeah.
Like we talk to them like normal human beings. And you can see the personalities that come through.
Mm. Personalities really developed, haven't they?
Oh, cracking me up. Like, you go into the nursery and they bowl in there, like, and if breakfast has already been done, they just stray and sit at the chairs and, like, where's my breakfast? Like, on that part, independence has massively changed. Not necessarily, it might be a bit different for you because they see you as like the first sole provider, like they cling to you a lot. Whereas me, I'm like the butler and the servant to them.
Jeeves.
Yeah, Jeeves. So when I drop them off at nursery, I've noticed a massive shift in the last 2 months with even dropping them off actually to your mums as well. Saying goodbye and stuff like that, and when they get there, they know where they are. You walk them into nursery now, so that I walk them through the door, and they just know what they're doing. So there's not like their attachments coming less. So they're finding their feet more, not even just a physical way, but a methodological, like I don't know, an ideology way. In the fact that they are finding their feet, they're finding their independence.
So,
I'm starting to notice that more.
Yeah. So I think the big one, I mean, that for us, I think this developed in the last month. I think the big thing that I've seen actually turning 18 months, as you say, is they know their routine and they can anticipate where they are. So when they know when we reverse up Nanny's drive, they start saying Nanny, Nanny.
Yeah.
They know that. They get in their surroundings. They know when they're at nursery, the routine. They can anticipate it. It means breakfast.
Even, I'll tell you something I forgot to tell you this the other day. Obviously, where I've got my coop, getting them in, they know their routine now, getting in the back of their car. I take them back out onto the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
The door, I've got a process. I get them in the car. So I put them in the back footwell of the back of the car, and they know to climb up. But what was really interesting this week is as I was putting in Erin, Ted got his teddy bear and put the teddy bear into his chair and was trying to clip the teddy bear into the seatbelt. So he'd even worked out the seatbelt arrangement and he was actually trying to actually click it in place.
Oh.
Which is mental.
Mm.
He was like, safety for the teddy bear.
It's really surprising me actually how much they've cottoned on to stuff. They're very clever. They like little sponges. I mean, Erin, this is a very, very new development. Actually, Erin got her nappy, got a fresh nappy, came up to me, gave it to me, and then laid down as if to say, change my nappy, and she was really wet.
Mm.
And I'm going to have a go. They may not be ready, but over Christmas, I'm going to have a go at a bit of toilet training, introduce it a bit, see how it goes. If they're not ready, they're not ready.
That'd be a good podcast, wouldn't it?
They'll be 19 months. So the only reason I'm thinking about introducing it is because Erin is starting to be aware that her nappy's full. And actually, when you say to them, change your bum, they know what that means. Sometimes they don't really change. And she goes, no,
but this is really good. Like I said to you before, the developments of like in the mornings, but they know they come in here and they stop, they lay down now. They're walking, lay down because they know they're going to get milk.
Or
they're like today when I was over at Dad's, they were, when I said to them, even in a different environment, I said, right, it's lunchtime, we're going to sit down. Because they used me for doing that with them for breakfast and they weren't at the table. They sat down on the floor and knew that it was a setup.
Yeah.
But like the funniest one, obviously, when they get changed is Erin's, isn't it? Stinky.
Yeah, well, that's it. Erin did a poo the other day. When he pooed, she goes, poo, stinky. Yeah. And started actually, if you watch this on YouTube, you can see, waving her hand over her nose, which I think she's got from Miss Rachel, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because I've never said to her,
she was doing it. She was doing it today.
But I say it to her now. I go, have you done poo? But she goes, poo. I go, is it stinky? She goes, stinky.
She was doing it to Ted whilst I was changing him this morning.
I do poo.
Both of them, whatever the fuck they fed him at nursery, holy shit.
It's always fish on a Friday, isn't it? They come home smelling
fish. Oh my God. Like, Ted just was like, I was like, how was even that? How did that even stay the nappy? And then Erin did hers. I was like, it was like a matching poo. Literally. So, like, I was changing him and she was going, stinky, stinky. And I was like, you're just a legend. And then she was doing it while she was getting changed.
Yeah.
But, like, you can see, even in the changing of them, you can, like you said, like, oh, do you want your nappy change? She will lay down and prepare herself.
Mm.
I just noticed that there's more, you can see that they've started to understand.
They definitely have exercised their will to say no. Now.
Yeah,
both of them are quite clearly, no,
yeah,
no.
I'm done with food or I'm not done with food or, you know what I mean? Like,
do you want that? No.
Yeah, so it's just, although it's funny because I go, do you want that, Ted? And he goes, no. And then it's a sandwich and then I put it in front of his face and he's like, actually no, I just said no, but I'm
gonna, I mean, yes,
yeah,
I was just seeing what else is on offer.
So you start to notice it more. I don't know, there's just another cognitiveness, really, is like really what we're saying is really, it's like that development, isn't it?
Yeah. So the big one is they're not just walking confidently at 18 months, they're now starting to run.
Yeah.
They definitely have got no. They're saying a lot more words. I mean, we've got a little book. We did have a little book on colours and numbers before Ted ripped them up. But like even today, Erin, she was like, yellow, yellow. They're like sponges. So at this time, if they're approaching 18 months, like if they're interested in a book with numbers and colours, start talking to them about it because they will pick it up. Mm. Like we've got in the ball pit and we'll say to them, go and get me the red ball, and they'll go and get you a red ball. And it shocks me how much they know, and it's just because when we're playing with them, we're like, oh, red ball, blue ball.
Well, even if you look at the towers, that,
oh, I count to five as I do it.
But like even when we're doing it, I'm going, go and find me the red one, and they'll go off and Erin and Ted will go and hunt to find that particular thing to then build it up.
And that was not what I call, it's called we're not explicitly teaching it.
Yeah.
It's just what you're doing through play. And I'm going to do a podcast about this if you're interested on how to develop play skills, etc. with my SEN hat on.
That was something I actually noticed like 3 months ago when I was over at your mum's. And she's got that machine where they turn it and then the ball flips out, doesn't it?
That problem solving.
Yeah. And I remember your mum saying, oh, we can't find the yellow one. And I remember Erin walking along and between the TV and the like art chair thingy, she was pointing. And I was like, I didn't think much of it. And it was like, where's the yellow ball? Yellow ball. And she was like she pointed and then walked off. And it was only when I got up, I was like, Don, actually, like, and Erin was like 13 months at the time, 14 months. And she was like, I was like, she actually worked out where that ball was. And was pointing at
it. She hid it there.
But then I started to realise that there's a bit more. Is it like, I would say it's like early stages of intelligent thinking.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's like critical and intelligent thinking for them. Is I've seen the most of them changes.
And the new thing that we've started doing is they're really taking on board that I'm really teaching them sharing and turn taking. And as we spoke this before, Erin does say share a lot. And if you've got something that she wants, you have to share it. So, like, when you had your toe, share, share. If Ted's got something she wants, share, share. But, like, Ted's
Let's start this again.
Okay.
She'll grab it off Ted and then say share.
No, she's getting better at that now because I've been teaching them. So like Ted the other morning had two little books and Erin did her share. So Ted gave her a book and I was really praising Ted. That's really good, Ted, good sharing. But no, Erin didn't want that book. She wanted the other one. So she gave it back to him and kept demanding share. And Ted was like, here you go. Kept giving her that book. She wasn't having it. And in the end, I was saying, no, it's Ted's turn. Ted's got that book now. He's sharing her, and this is it. So they're starting to explore that concept of share. They haven't understood it yet properly, but I mean, 18 months, they know the word share, and both of them know that it means you give me something you've got. The other one I'm starting to do is turn-taking. I'm really doing it's mummy's turn, Erin's turn, Ted's turn. They're starting to get the idea of that. And again, these are all things that you have to teach. When I say teach, I don't mean like you sit down with them. You do it through modelling and play. And they're actually starting to grasp those concepts. And I kind of didn't know if, mate, I started it about 17 months teaching them about tidy up. And now when I say tidy up, they don't put everything away. They put one or two things away, yeah. And now they're slowly doing a little bit more and more.
They were doing, I've got to say.
But they understand the concept of tidy up.
I've got to say, when I took them over to mum's every week, and she's got the box available for them, and I said tidy up, they were tidying up.
Yeah, I turned it into a song as well.
Their room was carnage, and they were taking, and they knew what they're doing. It's awesome.
So if you're wondering, you know, I started that about 16, 17 months old, talking about sharing, talking about turn taking, 17 months talking about tidying up. They're never too young.
No.
If they're not getting it, they're not ready, but you'll be surprised what you can do and what they will pick up on. And just, you know, remember when it's sharing, they're not going to start sharing beautifully straight away. It's little steps at a time. They're not tidying up all the blocks. They're putting some of the blocks away. And that's kind of a big learning curve for me, is actually when I saw those, you know, those little cogs turning, what can you do? Have high expectations, I think, and see what they can and just appreciate it's tiny little steps. But they amaze me daily with what they understand and what they can do and what they're grasping. I mean, Erin's actually starting to put two words together. So she, when you were asleep on the sofa and she was signing, she was doing daddy sleep. So that, again, her language is really developing. We're not having one word things now. She's starting to combine daddy sleep. Ted's still very much at the one word phase. But yeah, I'd say, yeah, at 18 months, it has definitely been like another development leap.
Yeah. Anything else to cover?
I think they're the main points really at 18 months. Yeah. And as you said, like jokingly, we've got some 18 to 24 month clothes and they look massive, don't they?
Yeah.
And they've always been, especially with twins, because they're born preemie or a little bit smaller, being two, they've always been a little bit behind in their clothes.
Yeah.
And so I'm still in that mindset of thinking, yeah, but we can probably get away with this for a couple of months. Actually, no, they do fit into 18, 24 months. Yeah. It is big, but it's not like too big.
No, but Ted, that blue outfit for his new bedtime, I put it in it. And he was like, he fitted it. There wasn't any really that much of it being quite small on him. When that boy's growing.
Oh, yeah.
Dad was saying today how much... Because he hadn't seen him for a while. He was saying actually how much he's seen. He was saying how much he's seen them not only grow, but also he was like, wow, they're coming on. You're doing really well.
That's must a compliment when someone says that to you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, my dad's, because he obviously hadn't seen him for a while, because his dog couldn't go around because of his dog. He was like in survival mode, right? I don't know, he just said like, wow, literally, like, how they balled into the house, walked around, engaging, conversations, they were dancing. How much more, it was so funny, I know it's off the topic, but like, we were over there, and Karen put on, like, nursery rhymes. I was like, they ain't going to dance to this. You want to put them to dance or anything? So I put Badadam on.
Jason Status. They love it.
In my dad's house, rocking to Badadam. And then Erin was doing it.
That's probably another thing they've started doing. Erin more than, not Ted, but Erin. I sing and sign the nursery rhymes to her, and she's actually requesting Baba, yeah. And she does the sheep sign, and then she can't say Incy Wincy, but I know what she means.
Yeah. Incy?
Incy, she wants Incy Wincy. Yeah. But as actually, I'm seeing a Baba black sheep, she's signing man and lady now, yeah, for the master and dame, and then she's signing the black sheep, the Baba black sheep a lot more, and ABC, so I sign the alphabet to them. And they go, ABC, ABC.
Yeah,
but right. Even that's another thing they're doing as well, isn't it? They're not counting, but if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they always say 2.
Mm.
You go 1, they go 2, and they'll go 4. But they know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But you'll hear them in their own play counting. They'll be like, 2, 2. So those little cogs are starting to turn.
Mm. But I do think that's from you, Kel.
I'm going to take credit for that because I do play with them and model it.
No, but the pattern, I think it's like the pattern recognition for them is installed in it.
Yeah.
So they don't know that 2 means a number 2, but they know that when you turn around and say 1, 2 follows. Mm. And that's like a critical development in their brain, because the brain's storing patterns. And that's like early development stages of anything that the human brain does. Mm.
I mean, I could do a whole podcast all about this, and I think I will do, about play, developing language, developing key concepts.
Mm. I mean, if you're listening to this one today, in the next few days, and that's something you think would be good, I've noticed it, like, firsthand from how you play with the children. You really pull in all your experience of teaching, especially with the SEN side to it now. Mm. You've been a phenomenal parent in delivering that to our children.
Oh, thank you. That made me well up a little bit.
No, but you have. You can see like the developments of the how the kids are in how they interact, how they talk, how they play, how they, the confidence in them as children have been fully developed from you parenting them.
And you, it's a team.
I mean, all Ted, like, I'm telling you now, the bit that Ted learned in the last few months is how to be a smooth operator. That boy knows how to kiss.
He goes, mwah.
Like, literally, I've turned that tap on for Ted.
He's such a flirt as well.
He was a bit like, a bit all like...
I've drunk all my
He was a bit...
apple juice.
He was a bit all like, I'm a bit aloof with my feelings and stuff. Now, I've taught the boy. In the mornings, gets up, he gives his sister a hug and a kiss, mummy a hug and a kiss, daddy a hug and a kiss, and then when he's out, I'm like, he's a proper flirt.
I should point out as well, with Ted, because we've never wanted to like force them to hug and stuff like that. Erin's naturally got it, picked up. Ted doesn't know how to do it. You can see he's smiling and happy and excited and wants to interact, and he flaps and whacks you in the face.
Yeah.
And that is Ted trying to do a positive interaction with you. But bless him, he does. And again, that's a very boy thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that that's not a positive way to interact. So that's where we've channeled it. Rather than you whack them in the face, Ted, you can give them a cuddle or a kiss. I would never force them to cuddle and kiss people and even each other, mm, if that's sort of...
So what I mean is more like, I know you're...
But I'm saying we've directed it. He's gone from being excited and he still does it every now and again.
He was doing it to me when I was putting him in the leaving dad's today.
Yeah.
I whack him in the head as I was leaving, just so excited.
Yeah. But we're trying to channel it of rather than a positive thing.
It's the affection element to it,
yeah,
that we've installed in him. And it's more like they wake up in the morning, both of them are like, Ted, Erin, like, Era. And like,
he calls her Bear.
And then, so then they know the sequence. Like, for the Saturday mornings, when you're laying in and stuff like that, and I take over for the morning, they know that when I come in, they've got a sequence with me.
Mm.
So how I work it is I take Ted out of his sleep suit and I put him on the chest of drawers. And obviously, like, it's a close bit now, like, but he now knows that he just sits there and waits. Obviously, it's not just Erin's bed's next to her. It's not like I'm going across the other side of the room.
Yeah.
But I pull her out and then put her next to him. So I take her out of sleep suit next to him. But so as I take her sleep suit, I pick her up. And he knows now, the instinct is that he now stands up. And then he gets excited because then he gives her and me a hug and a kiss in the morning. And you can tell, like, there's a real sense of a unit there where it's a proper affection, whereas before he'd whack, like, or wouldn't do that. So I'm proud of it because there could be other dads out there who don't want to do that or don't understand and might feel a bit weird. But for me, like, what a greater gift to establish at a very young age, from a boy's perspective, how to interact emotionally from a loving perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as you say, the way they learn empathy, like, babies aren't born to hate. It's learned. And I think, and I talk about things like racism and things like that, isn't it? But they also model your behaviour. So, and we always make an effort, don't we? Like, we cuddle and kiss in front of them. We go, oh, look, mum and dad, I'm going to cuddle and kiss. And I suppose the way that we are with the twins, like, if Ted's upset, we pick him up and kiss him. And I think that's where Erin learned that from. So,
because they do that when both of them are upset, or they both hug.
Yeah,
both...
a lot of it is modelled. But you can see with Ted, like, he knew sometimes to cuddle her and kiss her, but he almost needed, and you do need to sometimes direct that empathy and show that positive interaction. You've done that amazingly.
I came across a video that really hit home, and it's going quite deep. They say, a dad who teaches their children to embrace their children and is over affectionate with them is because a dad reminds him of him as a child who never received that.
Mm.
And it's not to say my dad didn't do that. My dad was just stressed in his career. And then I've got three brothers, four boys. We didn't understand that element to it. I was a middle child. And I know that obviously going through my own mental health and stuff like that, one of the reasons why I felt the way I did was because I didn't feel like I received enough love as a child. And I don't ever want my children to receive that at all. I wanted to feel like my son was loved by his dad. My daughter was loved by his dad. And there's never going to be an unquestionable thing that there needs to be a trade-off in that. And I feel like that's the greatest gift you can then model onto your own children, to then pass on to their own children.
Yeah.
That you can love without
unconditional love.
It's unconditional love, yeah, which is a phenomenal thing, because that's some of the fundamentals of mental well-being.
You know, we could get into a little counselling concept here about your locus of evaluation.
Locus of evaluation, it's 100%. I feel like, obviously, I get that from my mum's side to it, not necessarily my dad. Mm. That was because my dad was an arsehole, but just, don't know, like...
And also generational, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was generational.
His dad wouldn't have been the type of person.
My granddad was war prisoner of war and all sorts of stuff. So like,
the generation is like the dads don't show the affection and love. You know, that's what the mum does, the nurture, and the dad does the tough. And it's, I think now, and we are going off topic a little bit, but, you know, I do think in sort of today's society and culture, we are sort of undoing some of that stereotype and understanding.
A hard man. You have to be a hard man. It's like, no, you don't need to be a hard man to do that. You can love 100% and still be a man of principle.
And that's what we share for Ted, isn't it? We want him. I think I did a post once and I did like an ode to my son. And one of the things I said is, you know, don't try and be one of the lads, and boys do cry, it's okay, and things like that. And that's how we both want Ted to grow up, knowing that you can still be masculine and strong and also cry.
Yeah, that's the point. I know you're obviously saying go off topic, it's still on topic.
But yeah, it is, because at 18 months, this is when they're soaking that in.
Yeah,
We've just done this in counselling this week, looking at, it's basically called your conditions of worth.
Yeah.
So things like, you know, if you ever said, you know, oh, come on, don't be silly, get up, big boys don't cry. You internalise that.
Yeah.
And then as the adult, you feel like you can't cry. And actually, you'll be surprised how young they're picking up those interjected feelings. Mm. Because it comes from somewhere, because you don't naturally don't get to an adult. Someone's told you that you're not meant to show your emotions. You're not born with that.
No.
And I said to you today, wasn't I, when we were getting a bit stressed with the kids, and I went, remember how clever they are. Like, they are taking this in. And that's really hit home to me. Doing that counselling session this week, I kind of came home and thought, fuck, I've got to, like, that, you know, I've got to be careful here, because what I'm portraying to them with my emotions and my feelings and what I'm saying to them, they may only be 18 months old, but they are internalising that somewhere. And the big one that I'm really guilty of, and I've just posted it on social media, is being on my phone in front of the kids. And I think we've all seen that reel now where the dad's on his phone and the little girl wants the attention, and then he puts the phone down and time's gone forward and the little girl's now on her phone not interested in the dad. It's those subliminal things that kids are picking up on. And I don't want Ted and Erin to think that my phone was more important than them. And I do appreciate that I film them and do things with social media, but I'm really trying to not be absently scrolling on my phone when they're sitting next to me.
And do you know what? I've started
to need to improve that.
I mean, you probably haven't noticed it, but in the last few weeks or so, you know, you said about on the podcast a while ago, you said you're better that coming away from work at a particular time and coming down the kids. What I've started to do is when I finish work, obviously it's up in the office upstairs, my phone obviously needs charging because I've had calls throughout the day. So I leave my phone upstairs charging whilst and then come downstairs.
Yeah.
And so the phone's charging upstairs, and it then allows me then post work before when they're in bed to not be on my phone checking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
It's definitely at 18 months old. That is something they're looking at. And if they're seeing that you've constantly got that phone, you know, they're thinking, I want that phone.
Yeah.
I want that phone because what's so special about it? Mummy and daddy are always on it. Yeah. And then when they get a little bit older, they want a phone because mummy and daddy have got a phone. And they're not having those enriching conversations and stuff. But, I mean, you know, let's be honest, the day and age we live in, everyone's got a mobile phone. You do have to take calls on it. Sometimes you do have to answer a text. I'm not saying you can't ever be on your phone around your kids. That's unrealistic. And actually, they need to know, like, mummy will be with you in a minute. I've just got to take this call. That's fine. What I'm trying to avoid is, like, well, you know, they're sitting there, and I've caught myself doing it a few times. Because they're eating, I kind of go, oh, I don't have to feed them anymore. I'll go on my phone. And I'm like, no, I don't want them. I still want to be talking to them. Or if I've come into the front room and then we're playing and they're not playing with me. So I kind of go, oh, I'll pick up my phone, have a scroll, and then I'm missing it. And then I look up and they're looking at me and I'm like, so that's my, definitely going to be my pledge to put my phone away a lot more and be more present with my kids.
Right. And that's hit home and more in the last few weeks for me, I think, with it. As I started to develop more, bringing back on topic, as I started to develop more, like even today, when they were sat with you, Ted was staring at me. And I don't know, just he caught me because he was staring like really deep into, it was eye to eye.
Yeah.
And he was smiling because it was something that we were I don't know, doing or something like talking or whatever it was.
What, intensive interaction?
Yeah, proper intensive interaction. But he was smiling, not just there, but he was smiling at me. And I don't know, really, you didn't notice it, but it really, I felt it deep in my soul when I was looking at him, because I was like...
And you could have missed that if you were just scrolling on your phone thinking they're not there.
Exactly. Well, mummy's got them, so I'll just be up here. But he just turned to me and looked at me and he was smiling. And obviously with Ted, like, you've got the giggle, but there was like a proper element of a smile.
Yeah.
And that was a bit, I was like, he was smiling because he was happy and he was just enjoying the moment.
The next thing for us, isn't it, is we keep saying to them, I love you, I love you, and we're teaching them, and I can't wait for when I get that I love you back. Should we leave it there for today?
Yeah. Thanks for watching, guys, and we'll speak to you next week.
Ciao.